Hallelujah. The Bible says in Psalm 107, verse 1, O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. Say that with me. O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. We're going to talk about giving thanks tonight, but I wanted to open up, and I thought the kids and everybody were going to be in with us tonight, but I thought it would be good and to open with, this is really cool, this is George Washington's Declaration for Thanksgiving. So it was, let me get to it here. This is a transcript of George Washington's Thanksgiving Declaration on October 3rd of 1789. Are you ready for this? So we got everybody in here. I'm going to say that again. This is George Washington's Declaration of Thanksgiving. It's a proclamation for the United States. Now everybody listen to this. And think about this, because you might not learn this in school. By the President of the United States of America, a proclamation. Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and to humbly implore His protection and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress have by their joint committee requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of Almighty God, established especially by affording them an opportunity peacefully to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th of November, next, to be devoted by the people of these United States to the service of that great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all good that was, that is, or that will be, that we may be then all united in rendering unto him our sincere and humble thanks for his kind care and protection of the people of this country previous to their becoming a nation, for the signal and manifold mercies and the favorable interpositions of his providence which we've experienced in the course and conclusion of the late war, for the great degree of tranquility, union, and plenty which we have since enjoyed, for the peaceable and rational manner in which we have been enabled to establish the constitutions of government for our safety, our happiness, and particularly the national one now lately instituted, for the civil and religious liberty to which we are blessed, and the means we have acquired and diffusing useful knowledge, and in general for all the great and various favors in which we have both been pleased to confer upon us, and also that we may unite in the most humble offering of prayers and supplications to the great Lord and ruler of the nations, and beseech him to pardon our national and other transgressions, to enable us all, whether in public or private stations, to perform our several and relative duties properly and punctually, to render our national government a blessing to all the people, and by constantly being a government of wise, just, and constitutional laws, discreetly and faithfully executed and obeyed, to protect and guide all sovereign and nations, especially such as has shown kindness to us, and to bless them with good government, peace, and concord, to promote the knowledge and practice of true religion and virtue, and to increase of science among all of them and us, and generally to grant unto all mankind such a degree of temporal prosperity as he alone knows to be best. given under my hand at the city of New York the third day of October in the year of our Lord, 1798, George Washington. Isn't that cool? I mean, that's where we started with the tradition, actually, you know, the pilgrims and all that. But this is where, when we were a nation, he said, this is what we're going to do. We're going to be thankful to God for everything that we've done. Even in the war where we got our independence, it was his hand upon us that caused that to be. And I think, you know, tonight when we think about it, and tomorrow when we think about it, we live in an incredible country. And I know there's a lot of division in our country right now, but God is still on the throne. He's still doing things. And one of the things I like to do on Thanksgiving, or the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, it's kind of a tradition, is that I come around, I'm going to give the mic to everybody, and just name one thing that you're thankful for. Okay? One thing that you're, or two, 10 things, it doesn't matter. I'm thankful that I'm here tonight. I'm thankful that my wife and I got to fly home from Hawaii. I'm thankful. I'm just so blessed. But we're going to start with this young man in the front row, and we'll all just come around. What are you thankful for?
Normally I have time to think about this, since there's a long line of people. Let's go with I'm thankful for this building, because if not, we'd be out in the dark, cold rain.
Fair. The obvious one, I'm thankful for my family, but I'm also very thankful for my church family. This body of people has come around and supported us over and over again, and I'm so, so, so grateful for you guys.
I'm thankful for my friends and family.
I'm very thankful for the brave men and women out there currently serving our country, out there standing that awesomely difficult and desperately needed watch.
That's good. Come on over here. You thought I was coming to you first, didn't you?
I'm thankful for life itself.
What are you thankful for? Just say your mom. If you want to say something later, tell me.
I'm thankful for my family and that I have a roof and food over my head. And I have food.
Hallelujah.
Nope, she doesn't want to. Okay, that's fine.
See, I'm thankful for my job and my sisters and friends and the church. Amen. And you guys are back.
Awesome. Thank you. Joan?
I'm thankful that we can still worship God and we can still have Bibles in this country and we still have freedom of religion, mostly, and that we're all blessed. Amen. That God is on the throne.
I'm thankful for all my church family, and especially my lovely wife.
Awesome. Points.
That was sweet. Yes, I thank the Lord for everybody here and just being blessed.
Amen. Okay, we'll start back here.
All right. Well, I'm thankful for my church family, and especially for my pastors being back home. And I'm thankful, like Joan said, that we're able to be here. Yeah. I thank it.
Amen. It's okay.
I'm thankful for all my friends and family and getting through every year. Amen. And being where I'm at today. So, and I'm thankful for God too.
Amen. Okay, you've been dreading it, but say thank you. Something.
I'm thankful for my mom and my siblings.
All the time?
I'm thankful for spending time with my family tomorrow.
Awesome.
I'm thankful for my mom.
Why are you giving back to
me? I'm thankful for music and being able to listen to it.
I'm thankful for my family, my church family, and my pastors,
and everybody that supported me when I was so sick. That just means so much to me.
Amen. Hallelujah. I'm thankful for you. Did you want to give another one?
Yes.
Now that you've had time to think about it? Okay.
No, precisely.
Okay.
I am thankful for sleep.
Sleep, perfect. Come on. And when we know that it's God that is the one that's given us everything that we have, we can't help but thank Him and praise Him. And I just, you know, before the kids go back to practice for their play, you know, just tomorrow when you get around the Thanksgiving dinner table, make sure you just take a time to just thank God for all of His provision in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Kids, you can head on back. Glory to God. Glory to God. Do you know, it's a proven fact that thankful people are happy people. Let me say that again. It's a proven fact that grateful people thankful people are happy people. And I think for us, it's a reminder that it's easy sometimes to be the grumblers and the complainers. And here's the truth, is that we all, if we look for something, we could have something to complain about. I don't have this, I don't have that, or you know, whatever, this hurts, whatever. But it's also true that if everyone looked for something, they could be thankful about it. But we have to do it on purpose. If you want to be happy, start to look for more things to be thankful for than what you're grumbling and complaining about. I heard it said one time that, you know, the man that's limping can be thankful that he's not like the person that has no legs. You know, the person that, you know, you can just carry that out and carry that out, and you don't have to look very far to go, you know, I've got it pretty good compared with, right? I've been, and some of you have been in different parts of the world where, you know, they just don't have what we have. You know, we're complaining because we live in a house that's only this small, and I've been in people's houses that were just a room with basically a tarp over it, and that was their house, and one light, string of light. Remember in Guatemala, just the pastor's house, and they were just so blessed, and so it was awesome. But they had one electrical cord that came up to the middle of the room with one light, and that was their light. You know, and the floors were dirt. Their kitchen was one of those woods kind of clay stoves out in another part of their property, and that's where they cooked. But I mean, these people were happy. They were grateful. They were just incredibly happy. And for us, we have to be in the place where we're deciding on purpose. You know, I'm going to get up tomorrow and I'm going to find something to be thankful for. Right? And if you have nothing else, which is not true, but if you had nothing else, you could come to this psalm and say, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, and His mercy endures forever. How many need His mercy? The only people who don't need His mercy are those that are perfect. And there's not a big line of those. The last person that was perfect, they nailed to a cross. Right? So we all need His mercy. Let's go through a couple more verses in the Psalm 107. Go to verse 8. It says, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Listen to what it's saying. Oh, that men would. You know, that's us tonight, right? We are people who, the question comes to, are you one? Are we people who would give thanks to the Lord for the goodness that He's given to us? Come on. He's given us good things. Now, I had the opportunity this past week, because of what Renita went through, to go, what would life be like without her?
right? And so I thank God that she's still with me, right? I've shared this with a couple of people, but there was a night where I was, without going into every detail, but she had her heart attack, went to this little tiny hospital. It was like, 10 minutes away from where it happened, but they were just a tiny community hospital. They didn't have a cardiologist or, the ability to do the things that needed to be done. So she went by ambulance to this other hospital that was about an hour drive away. And so, of course, I didn't ride in the ambulance. And so I'm traveling there and an hour back. But on the way there, it's dark. It's a Hawaiian road that's two lanes and curves and everything. And I'm just praying. But I got there, talked to Renita, talked to what was going on. They were going to do the scope the next day and all of that kind of thing. And they were going to put her up in the room. And so I'm driving back, and I'm saying, Lord, I just want to thank you for being with me. And I said, Lord, if I'm going to be honest with you right now, in this moment, I can't carry the weight of the thought of what if. I have to trust you with the what if, and I'm going to cast the care of this on you, right? Now, I'm a man of faith. I believe in faith. I believe in declarations. But at that moment, I was saying, Lord, no matter what happens, I'll praise you. I'll give you thanks. And I know that you'll have my back. Right? I'm so grateful and thankful for the outcome and what's going on. And he's going to lead us through some interesting things. And I'm so thankful for the church. Janine took up an offering at the Thanksgiving thing, and it was like blew us away, and all of that is just awesome. But it's God's favor and provision. Oh that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and His wonderful works to the children of men. What are His wonderful works? Every day He's doing something good for us, right? I mean, we wake up in the morning, Lord, thank you that I've got another day. It's my habit or my practice that when I get up in the morning, I say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. But the emphasis is, God, you've given me another opportunity to love you, to love my family, to love people, to do what you want me to do. I thank God for it. But it has to be on purpose. And it has to be in view of your relationship with God and not based on somebody else's. Does that make sense to you? Because we can always look at other people not knowing everything about them and try to determine that they've got it better than I do, so that God is better to them than He is to me. And that's really not the truth. Because you don't know what's going on behind their scenes, right? And so it's important for us to be those people who would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness. You know it every time, every Sunday, and I've been doing it ever since this church has started. What do I say? God is good, and His mercy endures forever. What am I doing? I'm thanking God for His mercies. I'm thanking God for His goodness. And so even those people that we love but kind of irritate us a little bit, you probably don't have any of those. I'm not going to mention any names, but really we have to even thank God for them. I've noticed this, that there are people throughout my life that have irritated me, but they've been a blessing to me. I'm going to tell you about Norm. When I was a supervisor at the shipyard, Norm worked underneath me, which was ironic because at one period he was the foreman and I was underneath him. But anyway, Norm. I love Norm with all my heart, but he was a pain in my rear. And the reason that he was is he'd get out the manuals. And he'd say, this is what this says, and this is what this says, and this is what this says. Well, I personally am more of a cowboy than that. Let's just get it done, right? But he would be there, a stickler for what was necessary. And he kept me out of a lot of trouble because he was the detail person that I'm not. So even though it was irritating on one hand, I'm telling you tonight, I was successful in what I did because I had people like Norm. And I'm thankful for Norm. Does that... He's still a good friend of mine. We don't get together enough, but good friend of mine. But that's the reality of things. And so we have to be a people who have decided, I'm going to be a person who gives thanks often, and I'm going to look for things to give thanks for. Glory to God. Glory to God. I think it's just incredible. Let's look now at verse 19. Then I cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved me out of their distresses. And He sent His word, and He healed them. In other words, this is talking about other people. He cried out to the Lord for other people, and God was so good that He helped them. Right? Even in our prayers, even when things start to work out, we need to be people who constantly are reminding ourselves that it was God's goodness that brought us through. We have to give God the credit for who He is and for what He's done. It's easy sometimes when you're in a tumultuous situation and oh God, help me. But then as time goes by, things start to get easier and easier and easier and easier. And you don't really acknowledge God's hand in getting you through it. And I think it's important for us to take the time to thank God for His goodness. Thank God for His mercy. Thank God for all the things that we have. It's kind of like this. And it's like, you can think about it. I drove here in a vehicle. I didn't drive here in a Maserati. So I could grumble that I don't have a Maserati. Other people have a Maserati. I don't have a Maserati. Why don't I have a Maserati? But then I can think about, again, I'm going to go back to Guatemala for a minute. The same pastor that I'm talking about, the same pastor, he lived in this little house with just this one light bulb coming down. He had built a church that was probably two blocks from his house. And he built it, and there was a lot of people in it. It looked like a beautiful facility. But God told him, I want you to turn that to somebody else, and I want you to go over to this other place and minister in that church. Well, this other place, he didn't have a vehicle. So he and his family on Sunday morning, Wednesday night, whenever church was happening, would walk. I'm not talking about walking down the street, walking a couple miles. They walked over two ridges on mountain trails to get to this church that they were now assigned to. They didn't have a car. But they were grateful to God for the opportunity to be used by God to do something. So in other words, let's not focus on what we don't have to be thankful. Let's be thankful for what we do have. Does that make sense? Come on, grateful. I want to be thankful. Look at verse 21. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. How many in here have acknowledged that God has been good to you? Right? He's been good to us. Listen, our lives are never going to be perfect here on earth. Why? Because we have an adversary. And that adversary, his job is to kill, steal, and destroy. And then we also have people who have choices. Right? Other people's choices can affect you. And you think, well, why didn't God protect me from their choices? Because God gave you a will, and He gave them a will. And He's not going to violate your ability to choose, nor theirs. But we have to thank God that even when other people aren't doing what they're supposed to do, God will be with us to get us through whatever it is that we're going to go through. In Jesus' name. Amen? Glory to God. All right, look at verse 31 now. Well, let's... It's so much. But let's go back to verse 28. And then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He brings them out of their distresses. He calms the storm so that its waves are still. So then they are glad because they are quiet. So He guides them to their desired haven. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. In other words, we need to constantly be looking for a place where we can give thanks to God. Now, we think that one day a year we give, it's called Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving isn't set aside so that we can eat turkey. Thanksgiving isn't set aside so that we can watch football. Now, I personally like both of those, right? I'm thankful for those. But Thanksgiving is set aside, like George Washington had said, for the stated purpose of recognizing God's providence upon our land. But we need to take that down a step and come to even to the God's providence upon our family. His, you know, He's so beneficial to my family, to everything. And so I need to be one, especially as the leader of the family, that one that says, wait a minute, let's just acknowledge that God's been good to us. That God's been good to us. Giving thanks is an antidote to bitterness. Has anybody ever felt bitter? Yeah. Bitterness can come, but bitterness is not the beginning. It's usually the result of a lot of disappointment, a lot of rejection, a lot of, you know, whatever, but it leads you to bitterness. In fact, I think it's in Peter, it says, don't let the root of bitterness develop in your heart. Well, an antidote to bitterness is thankfulness. Well, thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. I've told this story over and over again, but it just fits so well. I just got saved a few months ago, and when I first got saved, I didn't get saved in a church. I got saved in Bible studies. And we had a Bible study on Monday. We had a Bible study on Tuesday. One was in, you know, like West Seattle. One was in Yelm. One was in another place. But I'd drive all around for these Bible studies. Couldn't get enough. I'm sitting in Buckley, Washington, at this man's house, and we're having a Bible study, and there's probably 10 or 15 of us in there. And one of my friends, his dad was there because his dad was trying to figure out what kind of cult his son had got in, right? And so we're sitting there, and we started out with singing a couple of songs, then we give testimony, praise God, ask for prayer, all that kind of thing. So Kevin gets up, and Kevin says, I want to thank God that my car blew up. And so this friend of mine's dad said, wait a minute. Stop. Hold the phone. What are you talking about? You want to thank God that your car blew up. He said, well, God got me that car. And I know that the same God who got me that car will get me a better one. So I thank God that even in my car blowing up, I'll see His hand upon my life. That so affected that man. Watch this. Oh, that men would give thanks for God and His goodness. That so affected that man, he got saved. Right? He got saved and walked with God for many years before he went home to be with the Lord. Oh, that men would give thanks. Your thanksgiving is a testimony to the goodness of your God. But if you're just like everybody else, And we're the same one, you know, the same people that are at the water cooler at the office or in our business, and we're complaining about the boss and this and about that, and this isn't fair and that's not fair. Listen, we're not going to be the light in the midst of the darkness. Giving thanks to God for our circumstances and what's going on in our lives is absolutely one of the best witnesses that you can have. And finding something good to be thankful for in others because God has made them is another tool in your chest for being a witness for God. One of the most tasteful things that tastes like delicacies is when we start to gossip and talk about other people. Did you hear about? Let me tell you what so-and-so did to me. Let me tell you my version of the story. I want you to feel sorry for me because I need them to look bad so that I look good. Is that the human condition? Does that describe where all of us have been at some point or another? I think so. But if we can be full of the love of God and begin to look for something good and focus on even somebody who's done us wrong, we can look for something good in them. It will help us to be thankful to God even in those situations. Glory to God. And what that will do for you, it's an antidote, again, for the bitterness and unforgiveness that would try to root inside of you. How many know that's not supposed to be our lot in life? Amen? Amen. So go with me to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. And chapter 5. You know, if you've been in the Word at all, you've read these verses before. But let's look at them again in light of what we're talking about. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse, we're going to go to 18, but I'm going to start at 16. I always mess Mike up with this, but rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now, wait a minute. This isn't, you know what, if you think it's a good idea, if you're having a good day, if everything's perfect, and you really want to do it, you don't have to do it, but if you want to do it, give thanks. That's not the case. This is a command. This is Paul talking to the church at Thessalonica, and he's saying, this is what you need to do. Now let's read it again and think about that in verse 18. In everything, give thanks. He didn't say for everything. Lord, I just want to thank you that I broke my leg. That's not necessarily the case. But I want to thank you, Lord, that even though I broke my leg, you're with me. That you're my healer. That you're going to take care of me. That you're going to get glory out of everything. Even, Lord, what the devil meant for evil, you can turn around for good. So I'm going to thank God that you're with me in the midst of what I'm going through. Come on. He said, in everything, watch this again, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In everything. What does everything consist of? Everything. Everything that goes on in your life, everything that's gone on in your life in the past, in the present, or in the future. In everything. That's a tall order. Because all of us sometimes don't feel like giving thanks. But glory to God, we have the ability to do that. We can choose to do that. And I think we must do that. If we're not happy, you can trace some of that back down to not your circumstances, but how you're acting in your circumstances. Right? I may not have a choice sometimes about what happens to me, but I absolutely have a choice in how I react to what happens to me. And I can thank God in the midst of what I'm going through because He's with me. I thank God that you'll never leave me nor forsake me. I can thank God that you sent your word and you healed me. I can thank God that you said you'd supply all of my needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I can thank God that even though you were rich, you became poor that I might become rich. I can thank God that even though I was full of sin, that you became sin so that I could be called the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I can thank God, but you have to do it on purpose. And you have to do it in everything. Glory to God. That's so good. Now go to Colossians chapter 3. It's going to say something similar, but a little bit different. Colossians chapter 3. Y'all getting anything tonight? Yeah, thank you. Just making sure you're awake. And it says in verse 17, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." Again, whatever you do in word or deed, whatever. What does that mean? In your job, in your relationships, in word or in deed, do it as unto the Lord Jesus. Again, I remember working at the shipyard, and it's really funny because there was a prevalent attitude in the shipyard about the shipyard. Ah, the shipyard. And people were complaining about everything. Well, I was a lot different. Because when they'd ask me, well, don't you, you know, whatever, I've shared the shipyard, this. I said, man, you know, I just thank God for the shipyard. I thank God for the paycheck that I get every 2 weeks. I thank God for the fact that even if I'm sick, which I never got sick, but if I'm sick, they don't take money out of my paycheck. The paycheck stays the same. I thank God that they're taking care of my family. I have a roof over my head. I can provide for my kids, and I can, you know, take care. And we have insurance. I thank God every day for the shipyard. And man, they go, "You're weird. Come on, you're weird." But I meant it. And I thank God for my job. I thank God for... And you know what? I was happy. They were miserable. I was happy. What was the difference? I was thanking God for my circumstances, and they were complaining about theirs. So it's your choice. If you want to keep complaining and keep telling people how miserable you are, if you want to continue to gripe and complain about your situation, that won't tell people come towards you. It will repel people from you. But if you want to change that, become grateful in everything. Become grateful, and in everything you do, word or deed, do it as unto the Lord, giving thanks to God. How many know that when you do even the right thing, sometimes people don't like it? You do something for some people and you go, man, they don't even appreciate what I did. Bless God, I did this and I did that and I did that, and they don't show me any appreciation. I'm never talking to them again. I'm never... Those dirty... But no, you're not doing it for the right person. It says to do everything as unto the Lord. So when I do something for somebody else, I am doing that for them, and I'm doing it as an emotion or a sign of love to them, but really I'm doing it to the Lord. Because He said, if you do it to the least of these, you've done it unto me. So thank you, God, that I was able to do that for somebody, because Lord, it's like I was doing it for you. Come on. But do it with thanksgiving in your heart. Do it with thanksgiving in your heart. Glory to God. This is, again, the time of year that we celebrate Thanksgiving. And some people do this. I think it's awesome. You know, like on Facebook, they do the days in November of, I'm thankful for this, I'm thankful for that, And that's awesome, but why are we waiting, you know, 11 months to do that again? How about just making it a personal practice? Before we go to bed and when we wake up in the morning, we have a thankful list. God, I'm thankful for this. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for this. Lord, there's no way I should be in the situation that I am, but it's been your providence, your grace, your mercy over me that's allowed me to be where I am. Glory to God. I'm going to be a person of gratitude. I'm going to be one that thanks God for His provision. Glory to God. All right, go back with me to 2 Samuel 22. Old Testament, 2 Samuel. And chapter 22. Glory to God. Now, in verse 1, I just want to get that first, and we're going to get to verse 50. But verse 1 says, "Then David spoke to the Lord these words of this song on the day when the Lord had delivered him from the hand of all of his enemies and from the hand of Saul." So he's given this great chapter. It's a great, if you want to read the whole thing, it's awesome. But it's a song to God. It's a psalm. He's singing to God from his heart and his gratitude. And we should take the time to read it all, but tonight we won't. Verse 50 says, "Therefore, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the Gentiles, and sing praises to your name." We, as a grateful church, as a grateful child of the Most High God, should not back off for giving Him thanks in front of people who may not have our persuasion. Listen to what he says. He says, "Therefore, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the Gentiles." In other words, God's been good to me. And if you read the whole chapter, he goes through many instances where God saved him, delivered him, you know, healed him, all of those things. But he says, "I'm going to brag about you to everybody." When we give thanks in front of people to God for the things that He's done for us, we're bragging about His goodness. And it's an indicator. It puts a seed in their minds. But, well, you know, if God is good to them, maybe, just maybe, if He's real, He'd be good to me. I got saved hearing this. My ex-brother-in-law, I mean, he was one of those fanatical Christians, you know. Witness to everybody. Just fanatical. Irritatingly fanatical, right? Of course, I wasn't saved at the time. So he witnessed and witnessed. And I literally was at the point where if I knew he was coming, I'd leave. So I didn't have to be around that, right? Well, he cornered me one day, and I'm sitting on this hearth of a fireplace. See, I can still see it because it was so amazing to me. And he started saying things like this. "Well, God told me this, and God told me that, and God said this, and God said that." And I'm going, "A little, God speaks to you? You're high." Or because I grew up in a church that didn't teach that. They literally taught that if God will speak to this one, but we'll pass it down and we'll tell you what God says to you. Right? At least that was my perception of it. So God speaks to you. And at that time, I was at the place where God, if there is a God, because I'd gotten really smart and I'd watched shows like In Search Of by Leonard Nimoy. Many of you remember Spock, you know, but a different show. Anyway, you know, yeah, he was like, talking about, you know, visitations in the Old Testament. Those were just aliens that came down and blah, blah, blah. And so I thought, yeah, that could be. But anyway, I got to the point where God, if there is a God. So this man's talking to me. He said, "God said this and God said that," and he's witnessing. And I went, "God, if you're talking to him and he really hears from you, is there even a possibility that you would speak to me? I mean, that was so enthralling to me. And literally, I said that to God, and I was talking about a specific thing that I was going through. And I said, God, if you talk to him, tell him, you know, talk to him about this. The next thing out of his mouth was exactly what I was, in my mind, was talking to the God that if there is a God. And of course, you know, I was really great at the moment. No, I said, that was quite a coincidence. And I said, well, if he did it once, maybe he'll do it again. We did it again, and God did it. And I went, oh, God, you are real. And I didn't get saved at that moment, but I just turned some things over to God, and I said, God, if you'll help me, I'll quit this, and I'll quit doing that, and I'll quit doing this. And the bottom line is I got saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, and God has been speaking to me ever since. How does he speak to me? This is the number one way, through his word. But he'll also put thoughts in my mind that are too big for me, but they'll come back to me. So I'm thankful for God even speaking to me. And David here is going, man, I'm going to let the Gentiles know just how good God has been to me. So when you have an opportunity, you're out in the world, you're having conversations, why should we back away from being grateful to God in front of people? What are they going to think about you? Who cares? And why is their opinions more valuable than yours? It doesn't even make sense. But the reality is that we can thank God for what he's done. I'm so thankful, right? I'm so thankful that God helped Renita and I with the help of doctors, with the help of the airlines, with everything. I'm not separating that out, but I'm saying that it was God's hand upon us that pulled us through, got us through, and we're back home. Glory to God. It's so wonderful. But I want to let you know, I want to acknowledge that I'm thankful to God for the people. I'm thankful for God for the provision. I'm thankful for God for his hand upon my life. Because I want to be one who gives thanks in everything. I want to be thankful. And we have to do it on purpose because it doesn't come naturally to a lot of us. So you have to practice it. How many like the word discipline? Yeah. Most people are going, man, I don't want to do that. I don't want to force myself to do that. Why? Because we like to feed our flesh. But our flesh will take us places we don't want to go. But if we start to become grateful to God, even when our flesh is screaming out for self-pity, God will lift us up and take us. We're humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he'll lift us up. Grateful. I'm thankful. I'm thankful for y'all being here tonight. I'm thankful for anybody that's listening online. I'm thankful for the opportunity to use the gifting that God has given to me to preach the gospel. And I acknowledge it's his gifting, it's his glory. He's given me the ability. I'm grateful for it. Glory to God. I'm thankful for everything and in everything. All right, one more scripture, and then we'll think about closing. Go back to 1 Samuel 16. 1 Samuel 16. You know, David was considered, and even God said this about him, that David was a man after God's own heart. And I think part of the reason is that he was thankful. He acknowledged God. God was always on his mind. He'd brag about God. He'd talk about God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Look at verse 7. He says this, "But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not look at his appearance or his physical stature, but because I have refused him, for the Lord does not see man, does not see as a man sees. He doesn't look at the outward appearance, but he looks at the heart. Come on. Here's the deal. We've got to be at the place where we understand that our heart has to be toward God. Our heart has to be toward God. And one of the indicators that our heart is on God is the thanksgiving that we give. God will make you a giant on the earth, even in your frailty, if your eyes will be focused on Him. And David, look at verse 10. It says, now Jesse had made the seven sons pass before Samuel. Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen these. And then he said, well, in verse 11, he said, there remains one of the youngest, but he's keeping the sheep. Samuel said to Jesse, go send him and let him come to me. Verse 12, so they brought him. Now he was ruddy with the bright eyes and good looking. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is the one. This was the shrimp. This was the boy. This was the young man. You know, somebody said anywhere from age 13 to 16. I mean, that's kind of the range where he was at. And God said, this is the one. Why? Because while he was tending the sheep, he was also had his musical instruments and he was worshiping God. He was after God. He was telling God of his goodness, thanking him. And some of the things that we've read already, he was already in the midst of because he'd been practicing it his whole life. He disciplined himself to worship God and to be thankful to God. Thankful to God. You can't worship God without thanksgiving. Let me say that again. You cannot worship God without thanksgiving in your heart for who He is. We sing a song as friend of God and it says, who am I that He should be mindful of me? God, why would you even consider me? Well, really, who cares? He does. Right? He does. I was flying one time. It was a night flight. It was one of those red-eye flights. I was going from Seattle to Washington, D.C. And I'm flying over, and it was a clear night, flying over the Midwest. And if you've ever had this experience, it was a clear night, so the windows were open. I'm looking down. I'm in a window seat. I'm looking down. And, you know, at 30,000 feet, whatever, you look down in these little pockets of lights speckling the ground. And, you know, if you got closer, those lights would be, you know. But I'm thinking, God, you really know the hair on every head that's represented on this trip, that every person that's down there that's represented. Yes, I do. And I love them the same way that I love you. Come on. I love them the same way that I love you. I love them the same way that I love you. How could you not be thankful to a God like that? How could you not give thanks to Him for everything, in everything, all the time, without stopping? Because He's good. And His mercy endures forever and ever and ever and ever. Let's go back to Psalm 107 and we'll stop. Hallelujah. Again, I want to tell you from the bottom of my heart that I'm thankful that God has put you all in my life. I'm thankful for my church family. I'm thankful for the fact that God has allowed me to have some influence in your life. But I'm telling you tonight, what I've preached tonight, it may seem simple. It may seem like, well, yeah, we know that. We've heard these messages before. But becoming disciplined to do this will change you. It'll change your perspective. It'll change your attitude. It'll change your emotions. Sometimes you have to go, thank God, thank you, God, thank you, God. Oh, I'm really mad, I'm really upset, but thank you, God, thank you, God, thank you, God. And when people irritate you, God, I thank you for them. Lord, you love them too. I don't know why, but you do. I thank you for... And we get this type of attitude and stay with it until that emotion breaks. God will put inside of us a love for the people that are even irritating to us. Glory to God. Verse 1 again, it says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, and His mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Say what? Say that He's good, and His mercy endures forever. He is good, and His mercy endures forever. Let the love of God shine through you by you acknowledge Him in His goodness, and let other people know that you're thankful for that all God has done for you, with you, in you, and through you. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we're grateful for Your love. We're grateful for Your Word. We're grateful for each other. God, we're grateful for the building that You allow us to meet in. God, we ask You to bless the Seventh-day Adventist Church. God, may this building, Father, may this property be so blessed by You, God, that their cup is over just running over, God. We just thank You for it. Lord, I pray for everybody that's listening to me online. You may be alone on Thanksgiving, you may, you know, whatever, but I'm just asking that God would bless you, that He would touch you. I'm thankful for you. Be blessed in Jesus' name. Acknowledge Him tomorrow. Make sure you take, when you're praying over the meal tomorrow, really be thankful for all that He's given you and all the blessings in your life. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Thank you for joining us. God bless you. If you don't know Jesus, make Him the Lord of your life by just saying, I need a Savior. I'm a sinner. I need Jesus. Jesus, if You can do anything with this life, You got it. You take it. Be Lord of my life. And He'll do something miraculous with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.